Well, Mark in his prayer spoke of putting off and taking on the new. And that's exactly what we've been thinking about in these last several weeks together this fall, as we've been looking at Colossians, the third chapter, in which Paul encourages us to put off the old and to take on the new as we become more and more like Jesus Christ. Because that's the invitation for all of us, to take on the character of Christ. To take on the character of Christ means, of course, to put off the old, our old human tendencies that don't quite allow us to be Jesus Christ to the world around us and to each other. So we're going to turn again to Colossians chapter 3. I'll put it on the screen, and Cora is going to come up and read this passage for us. Colossians chapter 3. Again, we turn to verses 12 through 14.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Thank you, Cora. So if you look at these verses, verse 12 is where we have been for the last 5 or 6 weeks. And we've looked at what it means to be a person of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and now this morning we're going to think about taking on the patience of Jesus Christ. The next 2 weeks, Pastor Mark is going to help us think about what Paul is saying when he says, bear with each other, bear with one another, and forgive each other. And then the week following, I'm going to bring a conclusion to our study here as we look at verse 14 and Paul's encouragement over all of these virtues, over all of these Christ-like qualities, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. But this morning, we think about patience. How many of you have had the misfortune of being handed a can of pop that had been shaken and you're not aware, and you reach and you pull that tab, and what has happened? Or if you like, a can of pop that's been dropped on the floor, because the same thing will happen. What happens when you shake, when a can of pop gets agitated? It goes all over, doesn't it? You have this sticky, filmy, foamy mess that goes all over. It's not an easy thing to clean it up, because who knows where it might have gone. In fact, you might be finding traces of this days or even weeks later in your kitchen. It's all happened to us at one time or another, and it's a mess. You ever get irritated with people in your life? You ever get annoyed with people in your life? It may be because of something that someone has done that rubs you the wrong way. Maybe it's something that happens in a conversation, something goes wrong, and it's assumed that you were the reason why it went wrong. And that is so annoying. It is so irritating. And the first thing that we want to do is to get defensive and say, oh no, why would you think that it's my fault, right? You ever get irritated with people because of something that they have done or something that they haven't done? Maybe when someone said, yes, I'll do this, and then didn't come through and left you with having to do what somebody else was supposed to do. We get irritated and we get annoyed with each other. In a lot of ways, we're like a can of pop. It's, you know, if everything went our way in life, then all we'd have to do is from time to time go into the refrigerator and reach for a can of pop, and we would have a nice, cool, refreshing drink. But that's not the way that life goes for us so often. Our lives are filled with things that annoy us, the things that frustrate us, with things that irritate us. And we all express that pent-up, pressured feeling in different ways. Some of us explode. And when we're in that same room with those who explode, if we know that person, we dive for cover, right? Others don't explode. They just sort of seethe, and their impatience kind of oozes out over a period of time. They don't blast people away. They just take pot shots every once in a while, making things very tense for everyone. Anyone here get annoyed or frustrated or irritated with others? Huh? Why do we get impatient with others? Well, the most obvious reason is because you and I are human, and it's part of the nature that we were born with, right? We do things and things that hurt people, things that annoy people, things that irritate others, and they do things that hurt and annoy and irritate us. And when they do, we wish we could remain calm and collected and kind of above the frame, but we react. And so often, isn't this true? So often, we come to regret the way we have reacted. Sometimes we get impatient because of unrealistic expectations. We demand too much of each other. We demand too much of our mates. We demand too much of our children, our family. We demand too much of our friends. Often expecting more from others than they're capable of, sometimes expecting more of others than we would of ourselves. Sometimes we get impatient. Our impatience stems from the fact that we are simply different from one another, and yet we assume that other people should think and act like we think and act, because after all, we're the ones who are normal, right? Sandra and I have been married for a good long time, but the longer that we have been married, the more we realize how different we actually are. I'll just give you one example, one little example. I come home after a long day at work, got here in the morning, stayed here for supper in my office and then meetings. I come home, and she wants to know how my day went. And the last thing that I want to think about is how my day went. But she's very interested in how my day went. All I want to do is to chill, is to relax, is to take a little shower and go to bed and watch a little TV. The last thing that I want to do is to rehash the events and the conversations of my day. But you see, she's a very relational person. And she's the kind of person who wants to know, you know, he said, and then she said, and then they responded. And because, you see, that's how she tells me how her day went. But I'm the kind of guy, look, I'll just give you the bullet points because that's what really matters. Just give you the bullet points, and I'm very okay with the abridged version. But that doesn't go so well for her. We're all very different people, aren't we? We all react differently. We all look at things a little bit differently. We have differences because of our genders. Oh boy, do we. We have differences because of our personalities, our backgrounds, our circumstances. But oftentimes, as I said, we assume that everybody thinks like us. We assume that everybody should act and respond to things just like we do. And that gives rise to so many opportunities to be a little bit annoyed or to be a little bit frustrated or to be a little bit irritated. Sometimes our impatience is the result of our unhappiness with circumstances in our lives. And so we get a little bit uptight about something that is going on in our life, something that is causing tension. You know what I'm talking about? Something from the outside that causes tension in our life and puts us in a little bit of a bad mood because we're feeling a little bit of stress. So we've had a bad day at work, or we're anxious during exam week at school, right? Or we've gotten criticized by others and we can't quite let it go. It just kind of stays with us. Or we didn't make the team. And what happens so often is we let this inner tension, you think about the can of soda, we let that inner tension just stay with us and stir up stuff within us, and we go home and we take it out on the people that are closest to us. Isn't that so often the truth? We take out our stress and our tension on the people that know us the best, that we know the best, that we care about the most, and that care about us the most, and we're short with them. And we're impatient with them. And when we give ourselves into that, when we give in to that, recognize that impatience and short-temperedness is often destructive. It can be very destructive. It certainly can hurt our relationship with others. And whether you lash out at people or let your irritation kind of simmer inside of you and just let it seep out from time to time, it has a destructive effect. And here's the deal. The closer your relationship, the greater the effect, the greater the impact, particularly in marriages and particularly in family life. And when you've been married for a long time, you know, you know each other quite well, right? You know each other's strengths, you know each other's finer qualities, but you also know each other's shortcomings, each other's eccentricities that annoy you. You know each other's shortcomings all too well. And if you give in to impatience and show irritation to each other, it is possible for a husband and wife to do great emotional damage to each other and to their relationship, given the acid nature of the remarks that are sometimes made to one another. And parents, if you want to think about inflicting harm on your children, just be impatient with them and lash out at them. It is so easy to crush a child's spirit. Impatience can also create dissonance in our own lives. You know, when you shake up a can of pop, there's a lot of agitation going on inside that pop. And that's true of our lives as well, right? Irritation and frustration can sometimes get the best of us. And those are never our proudest moments. It can lead to words and actions that cause regret. And if only you could take back those words or those actions. Words and actions that ultimately cause us so much unhappiness. In fact, just add to the agitation that's within us and take away our sense of well-being. So impatience is destructive to others, but it is also very destructive to ourselves. So the question is, how can we take off the things in our life, and in this case, impatience, that hold us back from being the man and the woman that Jesus died for us to make it possible for us to be and is calling us to be? And how can we take on the quality of patience, this Christ-like quality of patience that Paul is inviting us to? And I want to offer you some suggestions. There's a total of 6 suggestions. The last one, of course, you will not be surprised by. And the first one is to stop and think before you react. Very simple. It's not like, oh, tell me something that's really profound that I've never thought about before. But this is so foundational. Stop and think before you react. When something comes your way that causes tension for you, don't say the words that will come so naturally for you. Don't say the words that you just want to say. No, don't say that. Ask yourself the question first. What damage might these words cause if I allow myself just to express exactly how I'm feeling at the moment? What damage might these words cause? How much pain would I save if I could just possibly keep my big mouth shut? Because you know how it goes, right? You know exactly how this plays out. He says something, and then I respond by saying this, and then he reacts this way, and then it just escalates. I think we all know how that goes. Proverbs 12, verse 16 says this, "Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult." James 1, verse 19, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen." Not quick to respond, but quick to listen, slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to react, and become angry. Or how about Proverbs 16, verse 32? "Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than the one who takes a city." Better that you exercise self-control than just responding so quickly without giving any thought, wildly and madly. Here's the second suggestion in terms of dealing with impatience in our lives and becoming more patient, and that is, remember how patient that God has been with you, and hasn't he? I mean, Scripture tells us that God loves us with all of our shortcomings, with all of our failures, right? Scripture tells us that God is patient with us. I think about all the times that God has been so patient with me in the disappointment that I have caused him. And his patience with me has run so deep, it's gone far beyond the limits of whatever patience I could imagine extending to someone else. Here's what Psalm 86 says. "But you, O Lord, are compassionate and gracious. You're slow to anger. You're abounding in love and faithfulness. So when you're in the heat of the battle and you're frustrated and you're irritated, and you're frustrated and irritated with someone, or you're frustrated and irritated and you're about ready to display that to someone, step back and think before you react. And remember how patient God has been with you. Now, there's not much challenging with this, is there? In the heat of the moment, are we really wanting to or able to exercise some self-control and think before we react? This is a tall order, friends. Make no mistake about it. Number three, acknowledge your own flaws. Because when you realize that you, like everyone else, have flaws, you're more understanding and you're more accepting of another person that disappoints you. Do you remember these words from a few weeks ago? I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. These words of Jesus, who said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your eye?" How self-aware are you? Sometimes we look at others and we just shake our head and we can't figure this out, and then it never dawns on us that maybe we ought to look at ourselves from time to time. Realizing the extent of our own shortcoming makes us much more charitable with other people in their shortcomings. Ask yourself, in what ways do people have to be patient with me? Am I willing to give the same amount of grace to others as I hope they would give to me? Here's number four. That is, try to put yourself in the shoes of others. Proverbs 14, verse 29 says, "Whoever is patient has great understanding." And part of that understanding is putting yourself in the shoes of others and trying to understand and discern that person's experience, right? Before we're so quick to react, stop and think, why is this person reacting this way or acting this way? Why is this person saying this? Why is this person feeling this? Why is this person venting like this? Sometimes there may be something that is very apparent to you. Sometimes, well, there's something that a person has experienced in his or her life, some particular circumstance that a person is going through. I mean, people who struggle with fear may have had something in their background that is shaping the way they are responding to things. You begin to get what I'm trying to express here. If we could just try to be a little bit of understanding, stop. Why is this person saying this, feeling this? Other people respond in certain ways because, you know, they really struggle with self-confidence or they really struggle with self-esteem. Try to put yourself in their shoes and try to understand why they are acting the way they do. Because remember, we're all very different. We all have a little bit different circumstances, a little bit a different experience in our background. We're all wired a little bit differently. Try to put yourself in the other person's shoes. Here's number five, and that is be generous in extending grace to each other. If you're going to err always, always on the side of generosity with when it comes to grace. Grace has to do with being able to overlook the flaws of others and loving them despite the things that irritate you and frustrate you, right? Which is not an easy thing to do because, you know, there are times in which we feel justified in being irritated and in feeling impatience, and particularly when another person has hurt you. It's in that particular instance, we often feel justified in our attitude toward that person. Now, Jesus told this story, and you may know this story. It's a story about the king who forgave this huge debt of a subject. And this subject, finding an inability, no capacity whatsoever to extend that same grace to one who owed him a much smaller size debt. And the point of the story is if God demonstrates love and grace to us through the cross of Jesus Christ, how can we not extend that grace to others? I don't know. I don't know what would possess us. Patience is a decision to overlook an irritation, to withhold your anger. Patience is the determined choice not to respond to an offense in kind, but to relate to that person on a higher level. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, "A person's wisdom yields to patience." It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. And here's the deal. God will never ask you to be more patient with others beyond the level of patience that He has already extended to you. And so, to what degree are you willing to extend patience? To what degree are you willing to extend grace? The same patience and the same grace that you have received from God. Now here's finally number six. This is the one that I said would come as absolutely no surprise to you, and that is pray for a more loving and patient heart. The reason it comes as no surprise to you is because we have tried to emphasize this point from day one in this series. And with this quality of Christ too, we can bring to bear all of our resolve and all of our self-discipline and all of our willpower, and yet we will only go so far in terms of making a truly transformational change in our character. Only God's Spirit can do what we ourselves cannot do, and that is produce a fundamental change in our character so that this becomes more of a natural response than what it is now. Patience, Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, is the fruit of what? It is the fruit of the Spirit. He doesn't say patience is the fruit of our self-will and our resolve and our resolutions. Again, this is not about self-help here. It flows out of a person who has opened his or her life to the transforming power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Pray for a more loving and patient heart. Now, just one quick thing, and then I'll wrap up this message. My one quick thing is this, that we've already established the fact that if you open a can of Coke that has been dropped or shaken, it's going to be a problem, right? Why is it going to be a problem? Well, you know why it's going to be a problem, but let's just say that we took a can of lemonade, for example. We reached in the refrigerator and we took for a can of lemonade and we opened up the top. Is there going to be a problem? Not the same problem, right? Why? Because, well, unless I just haven't been to the beverage section, there's not carbonation in lemonade. So you think of it this way. The difference between experiencing tension and agitation and explosion is not the pressure that comes to bear on your life from the outside, but the nature of what's on the inside. And your ability to respond with patience and grace to whatever comes your way in life will be all about what's in your heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your teachings this fall and for this one also this morning. And I pray that these teachings, each one of them, will be helpful and help us to become more and more the person that you have called us to be. And we want to be more compassionate and more kind. We surely do. And we want to be more gentle. And we want to be filled with humility and patience. So, Lord, do your work within us. And as we open our hearts and our lives to you and yield ourselves to you, will you make us more and more like Jesus Christ himself? In Jesus' name we pray, amen.